And let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, would you lift your voices to him? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, I want you to give him praise until you feel his presence one more time this morning. Lord, we need you in this building today, gracious God. Lord, we need you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Let your will be done. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Anybody missing glasses? They were found in the pew yesterday and someone brought them to me. Anybody want a pair of glasses? They were found in a pew yesterday and brought to me. Also, I want to let you know that Justine lost her brother this past week. And I don't know they have arrangements yet. You can talk to her. We hear things will make known of them, but I know there's a funeral that will be coming up for that. So if you keep that in your mind, do unto others. Amen. I owe one person an apology here today, because one person came because they said something to me yesterday, and I said, that's exactly what I'm preaching tomorrow. That is God's confirmation. You're supposed to be here. And they came, and God completely changed the entire message this morning. Everything. I worked there for 2 days. Tim's my witness. Is Tim here? I don't see him. He's my witness. He drove me back to Dayton and back, and I worked on this thing there at conference. I worked on it on the way back. And this morning, I just completely gone. So, I'm going to follow the Lord. And you guys have to come back a second time. John chapter 8. You grumpy today? Okay. Just checking. Chris Schauber, are you grumpy today? I just wanted to ask. Chris is my friend. I got to make sure he's doing good. Now listen, I really feel the enemy has just tried to come in here and get your attention off of this word and what God wants to do today. Now, I don't know what that is or why or what you might be going, but I want you to really try to, as my son says all the time, lock in with me. He says all the time, I hear him on the phone all the time telling, hey, lock in. You got to lock in. So I'm going to try and lock in. But I need you to lock in with me. I really feel that there's something behind the surface that God has really been trying to do. And I will say a part of it involves the miraculous. And if you will get this, if you receive it, not just amen it, but receive it into your spirit, into your life, there's just no telling what the Lord will do. John chapter 8, verse 5. Now Moses, and I do have a few more verses that I added in there. You'll have to try and keep up with me, Alexis. I'll do my best to help you out. Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? They brought this adulterous woman, tossed her on the ground like she was a rag. Now, I might have preached from this text here a few weeks ago. I don't remember, but we're going a totally different direction. And this, they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Now, I'll just believe for myself, when the Bible says he stooped down, that meant he was bringing himself down to their level. And with his finger, he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and he said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone, or cast first a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. It shows us how important the example of our elders are. So I want to preach to you, if the Lord will help me, on this topic, it is written. It is written. Lord, help us. Go ahead and pray, Cole.
Lord God, I pray for this service right now. God, I pray
Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Whatever happened
glory,
this morning,
glory,
God, I pray
glory.
You just let us forget about everything.
Lord, we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Just let us apply this to our life.
We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. I really would have liked to preach you the message, but that might be next week. The adulterous woman herself is not debatable. We know who she was. We know what her story is. As mankind does very well, we make it our business to let everybody know what everybody does. Social media. But the writing in the sand can be debatable. I feel it's obvious. I'll share with you my take in a moment. But it's very possible that many could draw different conclusions from what was actually written. But one thing we know for certain, what was written was enough to bring conviction to the accusers. Whatever was written on that ground as they watched, they tried to ignore it at first. And they went right back to the accusation. As Christians, we're good at that too. I could preach about thievery, and you'll say, but the adulterous woman. It's what they did. As he stooped down, the Bible says they kept pressing him. And he stooped down again. And the second time, whatever it was, it must have been so profound that they could no longer ignore it. And so my take is Jesus wrote their sin and he exposed their shame. Just as they were attempting to write her punishment in stone. The law says this is what's supposed to happen. And the law is the law. Is it not? It is. And so Jesus came back, in my opinion, and he wrote their sin and said, the law says. And it was to such an extent that they were unable, of course, to further press their matter. And they beginning with the eldest and the youngest, thought, well, we better go too. We're going to be left here by ourselves. They begin to vacate the premises. I saw a video that a woman had posted in 2016, and it was a fairly normal video, and she said, I was just diagnosed with Huntington's disease, and she said, I wanted to post this video so when I no longer can, my family remembers who I was or what I was like. Now, on the surface, that seems noble, and I'm not certainly disputing that to some extent. But the Holy Ghost jolted my spirit when I read it and said this, she accepted her demise and she wrote her own ending. And I began to think about this topic of writing a book. When a book is written, it's final. You can't change a book once it's been written, published, and printed. And there are many books out there. There are many novels. There are biographies and autobiographies, and I don't know the difference between the two. I don't care if you do. You, some of you were like, they're the same. They might be, I don't know, and I still don't care. But what it is people want to write, they want to write their own story. People want to go out on their own terms. They want to have their own ending. And sometimes that's good, and sometimes it's not. And I know that there are you here that are here, you're already debating with me in your own pea brain mind that, well, that's a noble thing, Pastor. She just wanted her family to see what she was like. And although I said in some ways it is, in other ways, she sealed her fate. She had already determined that this disease will take my life. She'd already determined that there will become a time that I am no longer able to talk and to say things I'm saying now and laugh and joke the way I am. And you see a lot of this on social media now. You see a lot of people posting their stories and the things that have happened or happening, and they chronicle their lives. Now, I'm going to say this, I've said it many times, but I'm going to say it again in the same context. Our world is so broken that everybody's looking for attention. That's all right. I know it wouldn't get a lot of attention or a lot of reaction to that. Everybody wants attention to their plight. Now, I'm not saying this to be cruel. I'm saying it as a fact. Everybody wants others to feel sorry for them. You say, well, that's not true. Then why do you put it all over? Why do you want people to know? Why? Why do you want everybody to know? Why are things no longer secret? Why are there no longer family secrets? But see, that goes without saying, and I'll get back to my message for a moment. People will share anything online. There are no secrets. They'll share all their personal junk. Vulgar, doesn't matter what it is. It's like everything's just open anymore. Let me just say this to you. So those of you that already have your feelings hurt at me, and you'll go home and you'll post on Facebook how mean the pastor is. So everybody says, oh, I'm so sorry, honey. I'm so sorry. I've heard things about that monster. I understand that's why you feel. Honey, there are churches out there that will love you. There are churches that won't say mean things, or there are churches that won't speak the truth to you. See, I know. Do you know why I know this? Because there was a season in my life when my brother was backslidden, and I loved it. I loved that he was out of church, and I felt like all my pastor's attention was on me. Can I tell you another dark secret? Over the course of my life, and this is the past, there are times I would imagine myself something tragically happening to me and being in the hospital and people coming pouring in to see me. There is such a desperation to feel acknowledged and to feel important. That's not a crime in itself. But so many of the things that we do, we are writing stories with no hope of change. We are writing our own endings with no hope of God intervening, because sometimes it's just nice to have the attention. I'm not saying that's what the woman with this disease did. What I am saying is she wrote her ending. And I know what the Holy Ghost said to me, and that's more important than what you say. People are starting to catch on. I better amen that one. And so today with social media, people are posting their story. This is my story. Now, I don't know about, again, let me just stay on this just for a moment. And I'll get off it, and you'll like this, I promise you, but who cares? I mean, listen. If you're going through a crisis, you want to call me and ask me to pray for you, I'll be happy to pray for you. I will sympathize. I'll do all. But why does the world got to know your story? Why does the world got to know everything about you? Why do they got to know what you ate today, what you wore today? What do they care about your shoes? What is the half of what we're witnessing in our society is the rapid degradation of humanity. I saw one where these people put in these false, big, ugly, spaced out buck teeth looking all rotten, and they just sing the stupidest songs. I thought, my God, this is what we have been reduced to for attention. What am I saying to you? I'm saying society has accepted the inevitable. One of the things that's most important about the church is the church should never accept what the world calls the inevitable. The church should never accept that our world is lost, should never accept that any situation is hopeless, should never accept that, well, this is the way it's going to be, and that's the way it always has been, and things will never change. The church should never accept those things. But they have. They've accepted the inevitable. Hebrews 12 and 2. Just a portion. It just says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Only God can write the ending. Now I'm going to give you some scripture to help you really believe that today. Only God can write the ending. If you choose to write your own ending, and it's a miserable end to your story, that is your fault. If you're sitting here under the sound of my voice, and by the time I get done today, if you don't give God the ink pen of your life, then that's only on you. He is the author. You say, but that says of our faith, not our life. My faith determines my life. My faith determines what I come out of and what I allow to take hold in my life. My faith determines what somebody can say into my life when it comes to speaking death. My faith determines whether I'm going to go up from here or whether I'm just going downhill from here. But he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Only he has the ink pen that can write the final story. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Bible says in Revelations that he opened the books, plural, and every man was judged according to what was written in the books. That means God's just not keeping one account. I believe he's keeping multiple accounts. And I believe that God can change the ending and God can change the beginning. And I believe that God takes note of the things that are not so savory of our life. And then he has another book and he says, well, you know, but here's the good book. And I'm going to keep. What does that mean? That means the ending is fluid. The ending can always change. There is no finality until we leave this earth. He turned water into wine. Now, you can look at that as just a basic miracle, or you can look at that as God was showing us that nothing is as it appears as long as Jesus is in the picture. See, by turning water to wine, the Lord was saying, what do you want? Well, we'd like some wine. Well, give me some water. I didn't ask you for water. I asked you for wine. You come into the church and you say, God, I really need a miracle today. And God gives you just some simple message about faith and you leave and you say, well, there it goes again. God didn't hear me again. I didn't get my miracle. But all the while God was saying, but if I can build your faith, I can turn that into a miracle. You don't understand. God just doesn't, he just doesn't come in and zap us. God has a way of doing things. And so when he turned the water into wine, he said, I know what you want, but give me what you got. As long as you give me what you have, I can. God, I wish I could get some people. Hold on a second. I wish there were some people here right now who say, pass the offering plate. Because it ain't getting any better for me. And God says, if you give me what you got, I can take it and make it into what you want it to be. I wish I could get some people that would let him be the author and the finisher of their faith. We can't give, Pastor. We don't have it. You're not letting God write your story. You're not letting Him have the ink pen of your life. You have already made a predetermined outcome in your life and your situation, and sad to say, only your boss can fix it with a pay raise in your mind. But have you ever noticed, no matter how many pay raises you get, your situation ain't changing? Money in bags with holes in it. That's what he told Haggai. You see, God is the only one that can alter the ending. We're all here today because our life started one place and God changed it. You didn't change it. I didn't change it. God changed it. So when he turned the water into wine, I'm going to keep grilling this in until you get it. He was saying nothing is as it appears as long as Jesus is in the picture. He said, you can say to the mountain, be ye removed and cast yonder. You can say that. I realize a mountain is about as permanent as it gets. I understand you don't have the money for earth movers. You could barely pay to have somebody come and pull the weeds in your house. You can't pay to have someone put a tunnel through the mountain. And he says, but I'm telling you, with faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, just that kind of faith. He said, you can say to this mountain, be removed. It's not final as long as you let him be the author and the finisher of your faith. That means that God can move anything that's in your way. He can move anybody that's in your way. He can remove any obstacle that's in your way. Your faith becomes the conduit that allows God to operate and do the impossible in your life. But if you write your own story and you say, well, I would have went north, but there was a mountain that stood in my way, and God put the mountain there, so he must have wanted it to be there. If God didn't want the mountain to be there, we're good at that one when it comes to marijuana. I'm going to get you all offended at me again now. I always get talking about marijuana. Man, you always get some people, they get all upset. Well, if God didn't put marijuana here, it wouldn't be here if he didn't want me to have it. And then that becomes, if God didn't want me to drink, he wouldn't open up the new bar on the corner of my street. And if God didn't want me to watch pornography, he wouldn't have put the videos right in the video store so I could just freely rent. And then it just spirals downhill from there. But when it comes to the mountain, well, you know, what am I supposed to do? Are you okay? And y'all, pinch your neighbor and tell him to wake up. He said, the mountain's not a problem. Now watch. You know what I'm pushing against right now? I'm pushing against the tide. I'm pushing against the tide. I'm okay. I can do it. Be you removed. Watch this. You ever make the comment, it's written in stone? Has anybody ever made that comment or heard that comment? What was the first thing that we see in the scripture that was written in stone? What? Ten Commandments, or God's Word. Now watch this. He proved, number one, with Moses that you can't destroy the Word. The Word is everlasting. Moses took the tablets and he shattered them on the ground in his anger, what God had wrote with his own finger. And God said, no problem, come back up, I'll get you another copy. Now, he wasn't saying this to Moses, but what God was saying to you is, you can tear the pages out, it doesn't change anything. You can ignore them, it doesn't change one thing. You can pretend like it doesn't exist, it doesn't change anything. And I'll tell you something else, and you take this however you will, but not all the law was written in stone. Thank God it wasn't, or we'd still be stoning adulterers. You see, God was saying some things will never be changed, some things can't change. Grace makes the way. It opens the door. It tells us that it doesn't have to be this way. And that's why we begin the way we begin, with a woman who the law said should be stoned. And they tried to use the law to their own benefit. And they tried to say, but it's written. And God said, I didn't write that. I know what you're all thinking. Thou shalt not commit adultery. It still doesn't say to stone them in those tablets. It tells us not to do it. But God was showing us, even though the law said it, he said, I have power over the law. I have authority. You're not here when I'm trying to say to you. You don't believe that God has authority over your life. You don't believe that God has authority over your sickness. You don't believe, I'm going to start preaching here in a second. You don't believe that God has authority over your situation because you have been used to being in charge of your life. And do you know why your life is a mess if it is? Because you took the pen from God. And when you look at people that aren't here today, they're not here because God lost the ability to have mercy or authority in their life. They're not here because they took the pen and said, I'd rather write my own story. Even now, Brother K.O., I still feel it. I feel people pushing. Why? Because your faith has suffered over time. Whatever reason, I don't know. I can't explain it. I'm not going to even try to. But I'm here to tell you, I'm here to tell somebody that if you'll give God the ink pen back in your life, I feel... God, I wish somebody would grab a hold of this morning. I wish somebody would stop trying to be in charge of your own life. I wish somebody would say, I know what the doctor said, but they don't have the final word. We can get up here and preach faith all we want, but if you don't believe it, and if you don't let him be the author and the finisher of your faith, some of you are too used to being in charge. That's your problem. You say, what, you any better? I am. Yeah, I am. I'm better. I'm way better. Let me tell you something. God has broken me and put me back together and broken me again and put me back together and broken me until I feel like most of the days I'm just a dead man walking. That's why you can wake up and you're getting ready to walk out the door and the Lord begins to speak to you and you say, okay, God, I learned not to fight with God. Don't argue with God. And I had a good message. I had a really good message. Really good. It's coming. Don't worry. But I felt like God's changing things. Why? Because he's the author. And God will say, I don't care how long you worked on it. I don't care how many hours you put in. He's the author. You can go ahead and work yourself to death, and you can keep complaining about your problems. I'm just going to preach just normally. Or you can decide one day, God, I'm going to give you what I've got. I'm going to give you my water, and I'm going to let you turn it into wine. I'm going to give you what I've got so you can turn it into what I need. I really, really, really feel this today. What do you have, and what do you want it to be? I ask you that question right now. What do you have? For some of you, say, well, I ain't got nothing. I don't have nothing, Pastor, but my own two hands. Great, lift them up. I don't have nothing but my voice left. Great. Shout out his name. What are you doing sitting there when you've got, when you are supposed to be in the presence of the author and the finisher of your faith? What in the world are you doing sitting there when you know you've got a need that's bigger than you and it's bigger than life? But God is the only one that has the pen that can change the ending of your story. Why are you still sitting there when you know that God is able? Why are you sitting there when you know that God can change? It, that God can fix it, that God is able. So the only absolutes, God said, here you go, Moses. Give me that stone right there. I can't pick it up. God, you think you could help me? Hold on a second, God. He carves it out. Moses didn't carve it out. God springs over and God starts writing down. He says, all right, here you go. This right here is the foundation of everything. If you can use this as a guide in your life, right here, God says, I can do anything. And of course, as man does, sometimes we mess things up, so he goes back up to God. I could see that right now. You know, as if God, he walks back up, he says, God, could you make me another copy? And you know, God, he asks questions that he already knows the answer. What'd you do with the first copy? It's not my fault, God. These people, they're driving me crazy, God. And God says, all right, hold on. Go get me some stone and make you another copy. You can't get rid of the word that easy. You know what's sad? Can I tell you what's sad? Is every single person in this building, and if you don't, you need to come see me. You have every answer sitting right on your bookshelf. And sometimes you never even open it up. Whatever that answer, you know why? You know why? Because sometimes we don't like the answers. And so I'd rather change my own ending. I'd rather change my own story. And I ask you, where does that get you? It gets you nowhere. You see what's happening to our world? Out of their ever-loving minds, people are just completely losing it all together. I know I keep saying it. I'm going to keep saying it. The only absolutes are God's word. I don't know about you. I'm just going to ramble for a minute. And if I'm boring you, I feel like, I don't know, whatever. But I don't know about you, but when I drive by, you know what I don't do? I don't go, oh my God, $4.99 a gallon. You know what I do? Let's pull in here and get some gas. Can't change it. But I'll tell you who can. I'll tell you who can stretch your gas tank. See, you don't believe it. You'd rather believe some income poop on the internet that you never even heard before in your life because it appeals to your flesh. But I believe God can stretch your gas tank. I believe God can stretch your pocketbook. Hold on a second. You don't believe what I just said. I believe with all of my heart that God can stretch every dime that you have if you give him what you have. Ask Elijah. Give me what you got. Bring all the flasks you have. Bring all the pots that you have. Well, for what? We're going to fill them all up with what? You'll see. I'm going to take what you gave me. And by the authority of God, we're going to keep stretching it until you run out. You'll run out of pots before you run out of provision. But see, you got to believe that. If you believe that, then you take God and you'll give him what you have. That's why tithing is so powerful. That's why it's so important. Because you give God what you have and God shows you I can multiply it. I can make it in. We're not worried about the nincompoops who don't believe in tithing. They can keep all that. I don't care. I love you. Your opinions don't matter to me. Not one iota. I've watched it work. I've seen it work. I got three kids that eat like cattle. They do. Thank you, Brenda. She's already seen it. I mean, cattle are better because they'll chew their own cud, not your own kids. They'd be like, more, more, more. And you're sitting here like, God, we can't sustain this. It's impossible. Food prices, I'm going to depress you or I'm going to get you excited. Food prices, gas prices, insurance prices. Taxes on your property. And you know what? I can tell you from my household, I can tell you that we haven't felt a ripple. We haven't. You know why we haven't felt a ripple? Because we keep giving God our water. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. And God says, just give me what you got. I'll make it what it needs to be. But you got to be willing to give him what you got. You got to be willing to give him your very best. And if your best is taking yourself and laying yourself over the altar, then that's your best and so be it. Because God taught us that there's altars for ourselves as well. But you've got to be willing to let him be the author and the finisher of your faith. Now listen, I'm going to say this real quick because I know there are always the questions. Well, then why? I said it yesterday. We're not immortal. I didn't tell you that God will let you live to be 1,000. First of all, you'd be a fool to want to live that long. You remember I preached a couple months ago. And I preached about, well, if you don't come on Wednesdays, you won't know unless you watch it. And many people don't do that either. I'm just being honest. I preached, the Bible says that David ministered unto his generation and then he died. And when I read that scripture, Sister Pat, some time ago, it hit me. It hit me. David couldn't minister to the next generation. He's not built for it. God birthed David for his generation. There will come a point where I can no longer minister. God has to raise up somebody else in this generation that knows this generation to minister to this generation. You see, our days are numbered inevitably. Why? Because you'll drive yourself crazy trying to fix what you can't fix. As this world rapidly changes and continues to spiral out of control, those of us that have been around for any length of time, and I feel almost ashamed, Kevin, that I'm putting us in that conversation now. All you want to do is get frustrated. It just drives you crazy. That's what happened to Moses. By the time they got to the point, they were ready to go from the wilderness to Canaan. He was so frustrated. God said, I need a new leader for the next generation. Y'all think that God was mad at Moses and he was just, that's not what happened at all. That's why the angel fought for Moses' body. The only person in this scripture that God sent an angel to fight for his dead corpse, it meant nothing whatsoever. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying you got to die eventually. You say that, it's a fact of life. You're going to go, I'm going to go, there will be people behind us, they're going to take the torch. But what are we leaving them? Are we going to leave them handicapped? Are we going to teach them how it is to walk around the house depressed? Are we going to teach them how it is to sit there and complain about money all the time? God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Or are we going to teach them, in this house, we live by faith. In this house, we take our water and we give it to the Lord and we ask him why? Because only his word is the only thing that's written in stone. If he said it, it will happen. If he said it, it can happen. God is the author and the finisher of all of it. And if I'm going to put it in anybody's hands, I'm going to put it in his. I'm going to take the pen out of my hands and I'm going to put it back in his. And I'm going to say, here you go, God. I know what so-and-so said, but I need you to change the end of the story. And some of you are saying, well, why would God do that? You just said that we have to die at some point. Well, sometimes God wants to extend that just a little bit. Why? So he can show everybody else how great he is, how powerful God is, how able God is. And so the only absolutes are in God's word. He was telling those people, when they brought that poor woman, they threw her at his feet. That's why forgiveness is so important. We'll keep on that topic too. When they threw her down, they said, it's absolute, God. Jesus, the word says, stone her. But what do you say? All they want to do is tempt him. And he just, and they pretended like he didn't hear the sermon talk about their own sin as they kept on going. And he said, well, I'll just keep on writing. You want to keep on talking. Until finally they could no longer ignore it. God was saying, hers, I have the final say, and I have the final say. I could change your story too if you want me to. Keep on talking. He says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. God is able. I've only come this morning to tell you that God is able, that God has the ink pen. He alone can write the ending of our story. There is no place that you have ever walked that God can't reach back into time with his eraser and say, it will be as if it never was. And there's no place that you're heading that God can't step ahead of you. Come on now. You remember that they would not go into Canaan because they spied out the land, because they looked with their own eyes, because they kept their own pen, and they wouldn't let God write the end of the story. So he had to let that generation die off. And when the next generation got there, what happened? They said, yeah, we've been waiting for you guys to come for a long time. We heard about you crossing the Red Sea. Why? Because God had already sent an angel ahead to warn them that this army is coming, these people are coming, and God is with them. God is with them. Don't withstand who God stands with. And I'm here to tell you today that somewhere in your life, God sent an angel into your future, and God said, I'm not going to let hell have you just yet. I'm going to give you a chance to turn the pen over and let me write your story.
But you got to believe it. You got to let him be the author and the finisher of your faith. Psalms 119:89, it just says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. If God said it, it's done. If God said it, it's done. What did he say? I don't know. Look at your life. Did he address your sin? He said, it's forgiven. What did he say at Calvary? It is finished. I've done my part. I've made the way. I've opened the door. There's nothing that you've ever done that cannot be blotted out and cannot be written off. I have altered your future if you want me to. All you've got to do is step into the kingdom. And when you step into the kingdom, when you step into the kingdom, God's word is the law. His word might not be the law in Congress, but when you step into the kingdom, God's word is sovereign. And it cannot be changed, and it will never be changed. And if God says mercy is yours, then you grab a hold of mercy. If God said I can heal you, then you grab a hold of the healing. If God said I can fix your mind, then you grab a hold of that. And you say, God, I'm not going to let you go until I have my blessing. Matthew 24 and 35, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. God's word was true for you when you were a rank sinner living in the world, and God's word is true for you today. God's promises were true then, and they're true now. Don't look around you and look at the circumstance and think that God's word changed. It never changes. Let me say it again. It never changes. His mercy never changes. His love never changes. His grace never changes. If you want it, all you've got to do is give them the ink pen of your life and say, here you go, God. I need you to write the ending of my story. But see, sometimes what we do is we get in this thing, we get in it, and we say, God, can I have that pen back just for a season? Just for a season, I'm going to come back. You ever hear people say that? If I could tell you the amount of people over the years, oh, Pastor, don't worry, I can't come for a month or two, but I'll be back. What they said was, God, I need that pen back just for a little bit. I'd like to write this next chapter. And God, who has never strong-armed anybody into his will, says, if you want it, here you go. If I was God, I could picture it going something like this. All right. If I was God, I'd be in tears. There you go. I wish you wouldn't ask for that pen back. I wish you'd let me hold on to it. I know you think that this chapter in your life, if you just write it, I know that you think that it's just going to be a little more fun and you're so tired and you just want to enjoy life for a little bit, but you don't understand. It's a trap. It's a trap from the enemy. He wants you to write it. He wants you to think that you're in control. But once you start writing, you might like the things that materialize in your story. You might like for a season how this chapter looks. And so at some point, you just got to say, God, take this pen back. And the beautiful thing about it is if I were the Lord, I could see it going something like this. Thank you. I was waiting for you to bring it back. I still have time to change the ending. I still have time to change the story. So powerful. Isaiah 48 says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Go ahead and mow your grass. Go ahead and plant your flowers. God says, eventually it's going to rain and your yard's going to be flooded. Your flowers are going to die out at some point. Your house is going to rot. Your shoes are going to get old. Your job, it's going to fire you eventually. Eventually, they're going to need somebody younger, somebody stronger, somebody not as ugly. But God's word, it stands forever. When man turns his back on you,
God still stands with you. When man gives up on you, God still believes in you. Because as long as he has the ink pen of your life, God can change the ending. Only he can. Nobody else can. And so the adulterous woman learned that her ending was not final. What's that scripture? How's that? I love how it ends. It says, again, he stooped down on the ground. I'm back in verse 9. If you can't get it there, it's okay. John 8, 9. Now watch. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. Watch, this is powerful. This is so powerful. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. That's exactly the way it's supposed to be, just me and him. Just me and him. No outside interference. Nobody else judging and condemning me. Nobody else trying to tell me how my story ends. Just me and him. Oh, I feel so powerful about that. And then what did he say? Where are your accusers? They left. He says, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Why? He had the power to change the judgment. He had the authority to determine what sentence is passed and what's withheld. You know, in a court of law, does anybody know what it means if they take your judgment and they put it in abeyance? Does anybody know that? Well, what the judge will do is he'll say, okay, Kenny, I'm gonna fine you $10,000 for hitting that telephone pole. I don't know if you ever hit a telephone pole. But I'm going to put my judgment in abeyance until 6 months from now. And if you do the community service that you're supposed to do, I'll come back and I can wipe the sentence out. And judges do this all the time. Why? You know what they're saying? They're saying, I have the power to change my own judgment. And based upon your actions, based upon your response, based upon your desire to do right in the eyes of the court, I can change the outcome. There is no hope until you understand that God alone can change the outcome of your life. You don't know hope until you understand when I leave this earth, my spirit is in the hands of a just and mighty God. And the Bible said he is the judge. At that point, he'll sit on that white throne and he'll be the judge. But we know that he'll be a righteous judge. And we know that he is a judge that can change the sentence. He can change the outcome. He can look at the books of your life and he can say, yep, here and here, that wasn't too good. But over here, this is when you handed me the pen and your life, and from here on out, you never saw this, but this is what I wrote, and I begin to change and alter the outcome. And where you yourself would put yourself in hell, he would say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Why? Because he has the authority and the power to change the outcome. Everything else in your life can be changed. I'm here today to tell somebody, don't let anybody write your ending. Don't let anybody have the pen to write your life. I've been telling Natalie for over a year. Several times I've went to them. I said, I see your healing. I feel your healing. I've never felt it that way in my entire life. Wholeheartedly. Her body's a mess. And the doctors, she talks to the doctors about faith and healing, and they almost laugh at her. They did. Well, I understand your faith and all this, but this is just the reality of the situation. Don't let anybody have the pen. I don't care what the world says. And to some of you, you've given up on yourself. And I'm here to tell you today, take the pen and give it back.
and say, here you go, Lord. I want you to write my ending from this moment on. Don't let anybody, don't you let the devil cause you to believe because of this and that in your life that you've messed up the ending. I'm here to tell you that God alone has the authority to change the final chapter. And if you'll give God the ink pen of your life, he'll say, this is what's written. I'll tell you what's written. What I write is what's written. And that's the only thing that will hold you through eternity is what he writes in your storybook. And so he can alter your future. You got to believe that he is the author and the finisher of your faith. He can erase your past. God owns time. You know why we have a Bible? Because God looked ahead, or he was already there. However you want to word it, it don't matter to me. And then he spoke to the prophet and he said, here you go. Write this, write this, write this. John the Revelator's on the Isle of Patmos. And the Bible says he was caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And God begins to give him visions and show him what God could see that no man could see, but God could see it. Because God is in the, he's the beginning from the ending. He is the first and the last, that which is to come, and that which is the Almighty. That which is, I got all that twisted, but it doesn't matter. You got the point. And so John begins to write because God is already there. And he's showing John what's to come. And there are some things God said, stop right there. I don't want them to know that just yet. When the time comes, I'll begin to reveal that to the prophets. And so we have this Bible that tells us the ending. The only difference is who chooses to take the pen. But I can't write any notes if I give God the pen. Let him write the notes. Take that little pen out of your Bible and say, God, I'm giving you the pen today. I want you to write it. I want you to write my story. I want you to write my ending. He made Moses. He told Moses. Moses talked about his, I'm finished. He talked about his speech problems. What did he say? Who made your mouth? You know what I'm convinced of? And I'm right. I said that at the funeral yesterday, Brother Fred. When I said that to you, and I said, I'm always right. couple little ladies in the back, someone heard him say, oh, my God, he's always right. Okay, he's always right. I'm just kidding, folks. I'm just kidding. But I am right about this. Moses' speech never changed one bit. God didn't clear anything up. You know what God did? He altered the words as they came out because he says, don't just take what you hear and what you think and think that's what they hear and what they think. God says, I'll write the ending. Now, I know you don't believe this, but I believe this with all of my heart, my soul in the hands of God. I believe that God changes the words as it leaves our mouth. You know how I can prove it to you? He hears one thing, he hears another. She hears one thing, she heard another. He hears one thing, she heard another. Why? Because God takes his word and he makes sure it fits you right where it's got to fit. And it fits you where it has to fit. And it fits you where it has to fit. And it fits you. And it fits you. That's why the word is so powerful. You can preach one message and every single person has a conclusion. Why? Because God wrote the outcome of their life, of that message for their life, where it applied at that moment. It's powerful. But we have to be willing to give the pen. We have to be willing to turn it over. Stand with me if you would, because I don't know how to close. I told you, this is all really quickly thrown upon me. Faith. What a challenging word. Faith. God, do you mean you're asking me to let go? I've been holding on for dear life for the last 40 years, and you're asking me to let go now
And God says, yes. God, I see no resolution to this problem, and you're asking me just to pretend like everything's okay. And he says, yes. Because regardless of the outcome, if God has a pen, it's fine. It's perfect. His ways are perfect. His will is perfect. He said, I am the I am. I am the answer. I am the problem solver. I am the miracle worker. I am the beginning. I am the ending. I am the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I am. I am the final say. I am the one. I am the way. I am the truth. Nobody is truth like God is truth. Don't you let somebody speak into your life and make you to believe this is the way it is. No, God is the way. He is the truth. I am. That's what he was saying to Israel when he sent Moses to the Egyptians. He said, I am. I am. Say, I am has sent you. I love it. I love it. It's all encompassing. There is no limits to it. There's no other outcome. You can't draw an alternative outcome because he is all outcomes. He's all the answers for every situation, for every problem, for every trial, for every tribulation. He is. You say, God, I'm worried about my children. God says, give me the pen. Give me the pen. Give me the pen. Let me write this chapter of your life. Now, it might be a little nerve-wracking for you because you might not really like what I'm going to write. You might not like the fact that I'm going to write. And he took his possessions and he left home and moved out of the house. You might not like that, but God says, but listen, I have the pen. I still have the ending. And then God says, I already wrote the ending if you let me have the pen at this stage in your life. And he came walking down the road, and there his father met him with the coat, and he put it upon him, and he called unto his servants, and he said, kill a fatted calf, and let's have a feast, and let's have a celebration. Stop focusing on the hog pen that your loved ones are in, and focus on the one that has the pen and the authority to rewrite the ending in your life. Don't focus on where you are. Focus on the one that says, I can change the ending. He says, it is written. It is written. I wish somebody would lift their hands in faith right now and say, Lord, here's my pen. Here's my pen. Here's my pen. Take my story. Take my story. Take my story. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, it's up to you at this point. It's up to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's written. It is written. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth. Come on, somebody.
All of the great things you did.
There's no medicine that can do what God can't do. It's written. There is no ending that God can't change. It's written. You've not gone too far that God can't reach you. It's written.
You weren't sufficient for me.
Your marriage is not so far gone that God can't reach back and start to alter some things. It's written. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I need some believers to pray in this house today. Say, I might not be everywhere I need to be, God, but I believe that you are the author and finisher of my faith. I believe it. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Yes, you are more than able. You are is you are more than able. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? When did I start to forget all of the great things you did? When did I throw away faith for the impossible? How did I start to believe you weren't sufficient for me? Why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles? Oh, you are, and you are more than able. Yes, you are.
Cause anything.
Here's what I want us to do. This is the point right here in this song. What I want you to do, I know it's not easy handing the pen over, but I want you to symbolically, if you're on board with me, I want you to symbolically, when they begin to sing this next verse, and say, okay, God, I'm giving you the pen. I'm giving you the pen so you can write the rest of my story. Listen, don't think that's a small thing. It may be symbolic for you and I, but to God, He begins to take notice in heaven. And whatever it is, wherever you're at, you need to say, okay, God, He's not finished. And I know I've felt that before and I've believed that before, but he writes the story. And so He can tell me, okay, let's pick up today. Let's do this right now. The moment you give me the ink pen, I can begin to rewrite your story. Somebody, I want you to lift your hands right now as they sing. Would you lift your hands and would you say to the Lord, just between you and Him, say, Lord, I'm here, you are. I'm giving you this pen right now. I'm turning it over to you. I'm turning it over. Come on, you got to do this. You got to believe it right now. I believe it. I'm giving you my problem. I'm giving you the diagnosis. Here's the pen. I'm giving you my past. I'm giving you every pain. I'm giving you everything I've ever suffered. Come on, somebody that's been sexually abused. I'm giving it to you now. God, I've held on to this, but I'm giving you the pen. Write the story. I'm not going to talk about it anymore because you change it. You're changing the beginning so you can change the ending. Somebody, embrace it right now.
We've come this far by faith, and I just can't turn back. He's not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet. There's so much more to the story. You're not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet. Yes, there's so much more to the story. You're not done with me yet. He's not done with me. You're not done with me yet. Yes, there's so much more to the story. Yes, you're not done with me yet. You're not done with me yet.
You should point your finger in your chest and say, you're not done with me. And believe it. And believe it. Come on. Don't worry about what was. Just worry about what will be. Don't focus on what you did wrong or what went wrong in your life. Just focus on turning over the pen and letting Him write the next chapter. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. You're not done with me.
Put your arm around somebody's shoulder right now and pray with them. Sing with them. Receive it with them. Believe it with them. Claim it with them. Hallelujah.
You're not done with me yet. You're not done with me yet. There's so much more to the story. You're not done with me yet. You're not done with me yet. You're not done with me yet. There's so much more to the story. 'Cause you're not done with me.
Now listen, keep your eyes closed. Please don't open them. Here's the question. Why did I spend 2 days preparing a message, and why did God change it this morning? Who is it that God is trying to change something radically in your life? Who is it that God is trying to alter something in your life? Who is it? What is it? Listen to me. This is not just another Sunday. There's something profound that God is trying to do in this building. This is something profound, and it will apply to anybody who will receive it. You need to determine what in your life are you trying to turn the pen over and let God write. I want you to believe it from Him right now. I want you to claim it from Him right now. And one more time, I want you to receive it with all of your heart and say, I am not going to leave this place without turning the pen over to the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
Yes, we shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
Yes, we shall believe the report
of the Lord.
His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
Yes, we shall believe. Says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory. Says I am filled. says victory. And his report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory. Jump in the river.
Let's just clap our hands to the Lord.